Hey everybody, Jonathan here on another episode of The Blind Entrepreneur. I have a good friend of mine, his name is Jesus Lopez. He's 24 years old and he's from Austin, Texas. He is the founder of OnePay App. OnePay App is your personal bill concierge that helps consumers save time and money while paying their bills. Jesus, the first question, very simple. Tell us about yourself, who are you, and what is your story?
So first of all, thank you for having me. I think that sharing about who we are and what we're doing, how we got here is very important for us to know more about entrepreneurship. So, like you said, I'm co-founder, one of the founders of OnePay App. And it all started when we were in college at the University of Texas. I'm originally from Mexico. I came here to the States basically by chance. It was not within my plans to go to the States to complete my studies or to even start my studies. But, you know, one thing or the other, and fate just brought me here. I met my co-founder. I really, really started digging deep into the entrepreneurial scene here. And we saw that OnePay was a necessity among people because we just started hearing people, hey, I have problems with my bills. I'm paying them late. I feel that they're charging more than I should pay, but I don't have time to look into that. So we decided to do something about it. And it was through that we were able to consolidate what OnePay is, and of course a lot of iterations and a lot of patching our first work. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
So where does your passion come from? You said that you came here to the United States by luck. Where did the passion stem from? Where did it all begin?
So when I think about what we're doing at OnePay, I really think about not only about creating something cool and something that really, really, you know, that not only excites you but amazes you and how you were able to create it and how it's impacting people. I think that's the actual word. The passion behind what we do and the energy that keeps me going and keeps the team going is knowing that what we're doing is going to impact people positively in a huge way. Because one of our mantras, for example, in the workplace is have expertise, be convenient, and make small changes that create big impacts. Because we really, just the thought of being able to save someone $500 or $1,000 per year, and that they can use in something else, something productive, that's something that really excites us and we want to replicate that not only to one person but to millions of people.
Yeah, absolutely. So what were some of the struggles early on in the beginning of your career?
So some of the struggles, I think the first struggle is assuming a lot. So a lot of people think that when you start a company, is just start building it, they assume that they're going to build something and that people will come. And they really think, okay, hey, I'm going to assume that they want to do this, so I'm going to build it this way. So that was one of our first struggles, because we thought, okay, let's build it. Our first iteration, we built it a way that the consumer was not interested whatsoever, but we didn't really notice until we were already programming it and we already had something functional. So if I were to do it again, I would really, really check those assumptions first, build second, and of course, always, always prototype quickly and always go back to your customer, get feedback, get that, you know, the way that they're thinking and why they want it, why they don't want it, or why they're loving it. I think that's very, very, very important. Another thing that I constantly think about when I'm asked this question is, at the beginning I struggled a lot, and I think it's I'm speaking for both David, which is my co-founder, and I, who is my co-founder. The word no. When someone said no to you, you took it personal. And I think now that I've, you know, matured a little bit and I've been on this road for a while, I've learned to take that no and not see the note, but really try to dig deep and really understand the person and understand the reason behind the note, which is the important thing. It's not the note, it's why they're saying no. That's something that you really need to understand. And at the beginning, we just get angry and really think to myself, why aren't they getting it if it's so simple? But it's about getting that reason.
So I think that's a common problem that a lot of entrepreneurs have is, that frustration of hearing the word no over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
What does that look like to you? How are you able to ask your customers without sounding rude why they said no?
So I think honesty when you're asking not only your customers but mentors and experienced entrepreneurs in the ecosystem, asking them what they think about what you're doing, and when they say no, I think, well, one thing that I also want to mention, whenever someone says no, it's one of the best things that it could happen to you, because it makes you really evaluate and iterate what you're doing, why it's working or why it's not going to work. And when people say no, I really try to be real honest, and I'm straightforward, and I say, okay, I understand that you just said that you don't like what I'm doing and you're not going to use it. That's perfect. I respect you for it. But I really want to know why you're saying no. I think there's a reason behind that, and I'd like to know. I mean, if you're just honest and open about it and I don't want to say cool, but just calm about it, they're very, very receptive to that, and they'll be honest. And that feedback, that's worth $1 million.
Absolutely. Or maybe even more so at that point. So
yeah,
what was your biggest failure thus far? yeah, I know, it's a hard question.
No. I was just almost like choking myself with this tea.
I'm kidding.
It's kinda hot. But that's a good question. Our biggest failure, I think, was outsourcing our second iteration of technology. So, but not, I mean, we are, David, both David and I, we know our programming, but for us to actually complete the other hats, for us to attend to the other hats that you have to wear, marketing, operations, customer service, finance, accounting, investors, all these things, we had to, outsource several things to get some time. I wouldn't do it again. I wouldn't outsource based on my experience I had, and also based on the fact that not having someone in the same room as you takes out that serendipity. And I'm talking about lead developers. I'm not talking about executioners, because we do have outsourced developers, but we only have them to execute code that we already are sure that we want to have. But lead developers, they should be in-house. Mm.
And so you learn that now, by hiring internal, or at least working with a team that's maybe in your co-working space or something like that.
Yeah, so I learned that when I was able to see the dynamics of how a team works when they're in the same room. Mm. Because even though you might be doing the tasks that you have to do that day or that week or you name it, when there's a decision point that there's always a decision you have to make that you would always like a second thought, right? And sometimes the second thought is your own mind. You're like, okay, maybe this, maybe that. But when you actually say it or discuss it with your peers in that same room, sometimes the ideas just start revolutionizing themselves, and you end that discussion with something way more valuable than what you were looking for.
Mm, okay. So expanding on that, what are some of the habits that you use on a daily basis that has made you more efficient throughout your day?
So, yeah, so there are a lot of things that we take in place, but personally, I really like to stay connected with sort of the financial sector and not only the fintech, but the personal financial sector. So I read a lot of blogs. For example, one of the blogs that I like to read more often, I won't say on a daily basis, but more often, is The Simple Dollar, I'm sorry. They really touch on points that inspire me and really make sure that I'm tuned in on what the consumer is listening to, and also makes me, you know, come with a fresher mind when I get to work. On top of that, every time that we go and get into the office, we use a lot of the agile framework, right? So we like to iterate of what we're doing and let everyone know what we're doing, why we're doing it, and if we haven't done it, why is that, right? We call them, and this is a very common term, the stand-up meetings, right? So it ensures that our meetings don't go for longer than 10 minutes. Within those stand-up meetings, we're able to share all these details, and it keeps us connected, keeps us on the loop of everything. And while we can't be in the trenches in everything, you have a very broad idea of what's going on in the company. And it's good when you're, you know, talking about it and when you're thinking about the future. Mm-hmm. It also gives us an opportunity to remind ourselves why we're doing it. And that's where this sort of like impacts, I'm sorry, this is where the small changes that create big impacts come into play, that we're constantly reminded every day. So it's sort of, it also helps us to keep that vision and that inspiration there.
Sure. Now, are there resources that you use that you can't live without? I mean, you mentioned Simple Dollar. It's simpledollar.com or?
Stuff, the Simple Dollar.
I'm sorry, say it again.
It's the Simple Dollar.
Then the Simple Dollar. Okay.
And yeah, it's a blog.
Obviously, have that linked as well, just so people can read it. But are there any other resources that you use that you can't live without?
Oh yeah, man. There's software. I'm a fan of software. I couldn't live without it a single day, man. I mean,
what ones work really well for you and your team?
We have Slack going on. We have Wunderlist going on for short tasks. We have Asana for longer, you know, down the road tasks and visions and projects. What else do we use? Of course, well, I use a lot of I never know if you'd say Jira or Jira. It's an Atlassian sort of like product called Jira. It's for development as well, for sort of like an agile framework as well, where you can put sprints and backlog items and tend to those. So Jira is another one. And of course, Sublime for coding. And all of the Google apps. So yeah, if it weren't because of those, I could still survive. But they make integrating with everyone so easy that I really like using them, and I feel like I would be a little bit stressed if I wasn't using them.
Absolutely. So tell me your daily life as an entrepreneur. What is the first thing that you do? Well, number one, what time do you usually wake up and what time do you usually go to bed? And what are some of the things that you usually do throughout your day that's a little bit more repetitious?
Yeah, so I try to get an early start of my day. Depending if I'm going to run or not in the morning, if I'm going to jog in the morning. If I'm going to jog in the morning, I usually wake at 6 so I can get, you know, a 30 to 45 minute jog, then go back. Try to meditate every day. It's one of the things that all my parents really, really sort of like infuse in me, because they're very, and I agree with them. Meditation helps you relax and helps you recover and regenerate. So I try to do that. Then get in the shower, get up, breakfast, and head out for the office between 7:30 and 8. Try to get there. I usually try to do an agenda before that day, so I can already know what I'm going to do when I get to the office and not scramble for work. That keeps me organized well. And Wunderlist, for example, works perfect for that, because you can just have a checklist of items and you can have different folders. So I deal a lot with you know, admin stuff. I deal a lot with investor relations. I deal a lot with finance. Risk management is a big one, and of course technology.
So what time do you usually end your day?
Geez. I mean, it also depends. If I'm really on a roll, I'll probably do 9:30 or 10, and then just grab a quick, go to dinner and just crash.
Nice.
So I mean, it's until I finish. We really have that sort of that culture in our company. It's like, Hey, I mean, it doesn't, you don't have to stay that long, but if you want to, and David and I are usually staying that late, so when everyone's seeing that, they're like, okay, I want to stay too,
Right, right. No, I definitely think that rubs off. Now my question is actually about your running and your meditation. Are you listening to anything when you run?
Oh, never. I
Okay.
never listen to music when I run. I find that it's distracting, and I find that you can't really concentrate. And when I'm running without my headphones, is you can appreciate a little bit more the actual run. I don't know if that makes any sense, but you really, really get to feel exactly what's going on. You're able to control your body more if you're looking for assistance or that type of deal. And you can appreciate your surroundings too. And I think that's one of the things that really, really jump starts my day, because I mean, in Austin, and I'll bet you'll see this when you visit, is there's in the morning there's a beautiful sunrise, and but I run by the river, so I'm able to see, the river. You get to see the bridge, you get to see downtown Austin. So it's a beautiful scene. It
Very
just like
cool.
sort of like energizes me.
And are you when you're meditating, are you using any specific app? Because I know there are a couple, but is it more just like a, self meditating thing?
No, I just I mean I have a it's called transcendental meditation, and you just have a mantra, and it just I never use an app. I
Interesting.
was taught when I was little, so I just sort of like follow that trend.
Gotcha. So, do you believe that there is a formula in order to become successful? And if so, what do you think that process looks like?
Don't really think there's a formula. For building, I mean, there could be one for building a company if you really go to the actual nitty-gritty details, but I don't really think there's a formula for either for success or for building a company. And the reason I believe that is that everyone is dealt a different hand. So while I was able to come to the States and live and be part of this entrepreneurial world, maybe someone else is not able to do that. So their situation and their disclosive space, which is one of the terms that I like to use, is sort of like what they see. Their disclosive space is different. So that sort of like just brings down the whole argument. But what I do believe in is that you must be very that you must believe in yourself, that you really need to believe in the power of what you can do and the impact you can bring, and be very persevere, really persevere, because there's gonna be times where the world is gonna come and down on you, and you're gonna have to just fight it through it just by sheer will. Just look in the mirror and say, this will pass, and I'm gonna do it because I believe in what I'm doing. And yeah, there's a lot of moments that you think the world's just not gonna. I mean, the world's ending you. I mean, for example, if you're doing a web platform and the server crashes, or you get hacked or something, you're like, I mean, you think it's just the end of the world, and nothing is ever going to be able to like solve that, or customers are not coming. But it's all mental. It's a lot of mental fights, and you really need to fight through them. So yeah, I think it's believing in yourself, persevering, and never giving up.
Now, would you say that those are three pieces of advice that you'd give an individual starting out? Because that was actually my next question. What are some, key advices, some three takeaways that you'd give away give to a an entrepreneur that's just starting out?
So, yeah, that I think it would be sort of like a combo. I would fit that into one. The other one would be to really understand, sort of like if you want to be part of the startup like environment, you really gotta understand it. And
The
even
entire
though,
community in general, or just the business that you're getting into?
no. Well, how it works. Let's see if I were to rephrase that. So, how it works. So, I get this question sometimes. So, for example, a lot of young startups and a lot of entrepreneurs that are trying to take off don't really know the ins and outs. They don't really know that you're going to have to put your 20 different hats on, and you're going to have to really know a little bit of marketing, a little bit of law, a little bit of accounting, finance. You're going to have to go how to speak in public. You're going to have to really know how to convince someone when you're trying to get investors. You're going to have to know how a cap table works. Mm-hmm. You know, how convertible note works, what these things are. So, and while all of that is non-essential, it is important for you to know that that exists. So that's what I'm saying. If you want to be part of this world, you at least need to know what it entails to be part of it. Because if you're just like, okay, I want to be an entrepreneur, I want to build a company, and just start, mm-hmm. you're going to hit a lot of roadblocks. Mm-hmm. And having that knowledge firsthand will give you a lot of power and will anticipate you so you can actually build a better and stronger company faster.
Sure. So my last question is my personal favorite. So imagine, you know, we were talking about failure and talking about having bad days and how to, you know, go get, you know, raise your spirits up in order to become more positive. But imagine you had the worst day of your life and you're down in the dumps and you're just extremely stressed out. What is that one food, that one item of food that you're going to go for in order to make your spirits rise that much higher?
Oh, wow, man, this is top secret. Well, the Mexican in me is going to come out a little bit, just a little bit. So,
embrace, of course, it, man, I mean, embrace it.
Yeah. So, I mean, whenever I'm down, just, you know, two orders of barbacoa tacos, just splash them in salsa with a nice Mexican Coke that will bring a smile to me any day.
Nice.
Any day of the week. And twice on Sunday. So, yeah.
Nice. Very cool. Well,
that's it.
That's a great answer. And, Jesus, if you don't mind, just plugging yourself, how can people find you? How can people learn more about you and your business?
Yeah, of course. So one of the things that I really like to, like to talk about and say is I'm open. I'm very open to having a conversation with a lot of people, and I like to help. So that being said, if any question or any concern that anyone might have that's hearing this, don't hesitate to reach out to me. My email is jesus@onepayapp.com. And my full name is Jesus Lopez. The website is www.onepayapp.com. And
do you have a Twitter account? Or
I do have a Twitter account. My Twitter account is @jlopez, L-O-C. So it's @JLOPECLOC. And tweet me, send me an email. I'll be sure to respond.
Cool. Awesome. Jesus, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Of course, man. Kudos on what you're doing, and let me know if there's anything I can help.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks again.
Thanks, man.